Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, the first chapter, beginning at verse 3, and we'll read the first few verses in Jesus' name. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. So far, the text. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are the truth. Sanctify us through your truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, we didn't deserve it. We've never deserved it. We've never deserved to be chosen as God's children. We've done nothing to earn it. It isn't ours on merit. And yet we possess what we read are the keys to the mystery of the universe, how we fit into this universe as chosen people of God. To us, God has not only revealed that there is such a thing as the forgiveness of sins, but by calling us and making us his own by faith, he's given us the forgiveness of sins. He's given us a connection with heaven, several actually. And he's given us the gift of everlasting life in a glorified body. And what's more, he's confirmed this to us. He's made sort of a down payment, as he talks about it, by giving us the Holy Spirit that works faith in our hearts and works in the life of love that we live toward God and toward one another. The fact that we are here, the fact that we call upon the Lord, the fact that we know him is the testimony to the work of the Holy Spirit. And again, this is by grace. This is by God's unmerited love. Every so often people say, well, what makes you think that you're so special that you were chosen? Well, that's the whole point. There is nothing special that would answer the question, why some and not others? Why us and not somebody else? It's by grace. We had nothing to do with it any more than we had to do with being born at this time in history, being born in this country, being born to our particular parents. The point that Paul's making is, this isn't luck. This is grace. This isn't the roll of the celestial cosmic dice. But it is a personal gift of love from God to you. By grace, you're part of a cosmic plan. Now, I use that word cosmic sometimes, and people have asked me to tell you what it means, and we'll probably make a point of defining it from time to time. Cosmic means that it extends to a reality beyond this world. And so if we're talking merely physics, cosmic would mean having to do with the cosmos, having to do with the whole universe, and having to do with the past, and also the future. And so we use it to refer to the universe as a whole, but to the realities beyond this time and this place. The realities including God and the angels, those things that are in the presence of God, heaven, those things that are separated from God, hell. And in one of the texts coming up, we read about the principalities against the powers and the spiritual wickedness in high places. Well, those are cosmic things. And so are the blessings for which Paul penned these words of praise with which we start our text. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Everything that now belongs to you is a heavenly blessing that is even outside your personal experience today, but that exists for you in heaven. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Not he chose us because we are holy. Something special about us? No. You've been chosen to be given holiness and blamelessness. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved, that is, in his beloved Son. The gifts that God pours out to you and me through his gospel, through holy baptism, through the Lord's Supper, they're cosmic gifts. They're part of our life, but they're also connected to a greater reality. They're connected to God. They're connected to his love for us. They're connected to heaven. They're connected to the blessings he has prepared for us in the future. They're connected to how we are counted blameless and righteous before him. They're connected to his own determination to make us his own dear children by adoption. They're connected to our souls. They're connected to Jesus, God's beloved Son, who obtained these gifts for us at a certain time in history, for sure, but not this time, a time before, on Calvary, outside Jerusalem. The gifts that God pours out to us are connected to eternity itself, where our life will continue. These are cosmic gifts. The takeaway points in this hymn of praise: he chose us, not our will, but his will. He chose us outside of our time, before you and I existed. You ever thought about that? I remember as a little kid thinking, this is so weird. I've been here 5 whole years, or whatever it was. And 6 years ago, I wasn't here. Man, how does that work? Well, those are cosmic questions. And the Bible tells us that before we sat down and thought about it, God had chosen us as his own before we even existed. He had plans in motion to make us blameless before him, making it possible to create, now moving ahead in time, creating a permanent eternal relationship with us as his children, so that we could forever receive the outpouring of his love. And this all happened through Christ, his beloved. Yeah, these are words of praise. In fact, that's why we praise him. And he gave us such love so that there might be praise for him. So this word cosmic, it's one that's part of our vocabulary. It doesn't mean imaginary. It doesn't mean merely spiritual or unreal. Because the blessings of God's grace are as concrete, as real, as physical as creation itself. Think of his gift of Jesus as our Savior. His cosmic gift meant Mary, very pregnant, riding a donkey down to Bethlehem, giving painful birth in a stable. And once she'd cleaned him up and nursed him and wrapped him in cloths, laying him in a manger. What he did for us is very real. It involved Jesus' perfect life as in study. We're told that he learned, as well as what he did to live as a carpenter, his work with the chisel, the plane, the saw, physical exertion. And our holiness before God was won at the price of sweat and pain and wounds and bleeding and gasping for breath and dying. It involved a bloody corpse covered with blood and sweat and dirt and excrement and laid in a tomb, scarcely clean. Yeah, what God intended for us, his gifts, cosmic gifts, are physical and real indeed. They involved human relationships. Jesus' relationship with his mother is with her relationship with him as a son. His relationship with his stepfather Joseph, siblings, friends, enemies, disciples, and even you, who come to know him, really, through the words of those who knew him, his apostles, through whose words you've come to know Jesus Christ himself. The blessings, these cosmic blessings of God, involve the relationship between the divine Father and the divine Son, and how he was counted guilty for the sins of the world, so that we could be counted innocent, our guilt having been atoned for. Our relationship with God involved very physical, real things, like our sins. Things we've really done wrong, leaving in our lives, in our wake, a hurting, offense, sometimes heartbreak, pollution, corruption, lies, under the condemnation of God's law, so that if God had not put this plan into motion, we would be lost in our sins, for nothing sinful could ever be in the presence of God. We would be in those places that are separated from God for eternity, an eternity of despair, despair that lasts forever and forever and forever. The blessings that God has given to us, that he planned on giving us even before we were born, involved relationships broken by sin and restored by the sacrifice of redemption. And those relationships now exist between us and God, and between us as brothers and sisters by faith in Christ, by which we are united. That's one of the objectives that God had in doing in all of this, that we would be united together in Christ. Paul's talking about all of that when he says, in him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purposes, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. And so the Christian faith is not just, most decidedly not just about heavenly things, as though it were merely about concepts, but it involves the course of history. So Paul wrote in Acts 17, he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. The Christian faith is about history. Why are we here in this place possessed of the riches of God's word? Because God has decided that it be done, that it be that way. People, how many of you who are here today have said, I know there's something more to life than what I live in the rat race every day, and have decided to find it. And maybe that's why you walked in here today or 10 years ago. I remember once I had a person turn up on the doorstep at our church in Port Orchard. There'd been a landslide that had covered the road that led into town, the main road. And so he was taken the only other way, which happened to go by our church. And churches aren't a big deal in Washington. They're kind of like not even there. But so this was kind of different to drive by a church. And he drove in. He said, well, tell me, is there a God and how do we know? It's amazing how God works, both on the grand historical scale and in the personal scale. So the Christian faith and in what God has chosen to do in this world to bring people to him, it's about life. It's about living and breathing and sweating and bleeding, sinning, repenting, loving, hating, suffering, rejoicing. And it's about dying. It's about you and me being beings both physical and spiritual with our sins, but also our works of love and faith, all that we've done and will do as we inhabit these bodies. And everything changed in our relationship to God because of what Jesus did in his body, living the very same kind of life to atone for us through his blood. Never an accident. And because he has atoned for our sins, because he's called us by the gospel, because he's enlightened us with faith, we who live in the midst of very physical and very spiritual and very emotional suffering on the one hand, but also blessing, we look forward to what God promises, and that is the resurrection of our bodies and everlasting life. But to make sure that we who are sitting here today and all the situation that we call life, to make sure that we can live with hope and ultimately live in praise to God for his glorious grace, we've received a down payment, he tells us, a down payment on our final salvation. In him, we have obtained an inheritance. Now, you know what inheritance is. It's something, it's the bills my kids are going to get when I die. But not that they don't have yet. It's what's coming. And yet it's already there, it's just not theirs yet. So our inheritance is already here. It's just not ours yet. In him we've obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the down payment of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. So how do you know that there's forgiveness for sinners like you and me? Well, because of the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And how do we know that God's love extends as far as this dirty, rotten sinner? Well, because Christ has lived and died, we're told, for the sins of the whole world. And how do we know that beyond just wanting mankind to be saved, God has called you to be his own? Well, because you've heard the gospel call. It's not by accident. Because you've believed in him. Also not by accident. And it's the evidence that you have in fact received the Holy Spirit who has called us to faith and called us to Christian life. So today, as we begin working through this book of Ephesians, it's given to us today to praise the glorious grace of God who has moved in heaven and earth to give us here today and the tangible elements of his word in the waters of baptism and the holy communion of his body and blood with the bread and wine. He's given us things that are cosmic, that are literally out of this world, namely his grace, his eternal love, eternal life, forgiveness, reconciliation, and still coming, resurrection. So we've already started a life lived forever in praise of his glorious grace. Amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.